This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio. Theatre, film, TV and more. Susie Rong reviews it all on Joy Drive.
Good afternoon, Susie Rong.
I've got a question for you, Warren.
What have you got for me?
Have you ever, in a moment of intimacy, experienced someone ever calling you daddy?
Oh. Do you know what? We have a very good relationship, Susie, and I'm always honest with you. Yes. And I don't like it. It throws me off.
So did it come out of the blue line without you prompting?
Yeah, it's come out a few times. And someone said, call me son. I said, I can't do that. It killed it for me. Can you please leave? There's the door. No, daddy, where did it come from? In fact, I was working out the other day and I put on my glasses because I have reading glasses and I was wearing them in the gym and someone comes up and goes, oh my God, daddy. And I went, what?
Wow. No. Right. So even when it's not in an intimate setting, you find it a little bit off-putting.
Yeah. I've never been comfortable with it. I feel like it's a bit of a newish term, isn't it? Like it's only a few years old. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like it's become really commonplace.
I suppose it's acceptable. It throws me right off. I mean, I love my dad, but I don't want to picture him.
Well, I'm not bringing this up as a completely irrelevant thing. We are talking about fatherhood today.
We are definitely. Trust you to ask that question, though, Susie Rock. Now, we're talking about a movie. Before we get into that, can I just mention, went to the opening night of the Melbourne Queer Film Festival last week, and I keep forgetting the name of the movie, but it was the Filipino movie, and oh my goodness, I loved it.
Yeah, the film is called I Love You, Bexman, or Mahal Kita Bexman. I'm assuming you had a really great sort of community vibe going.
Yeah, it was really good. It was so good to see everyone out and, watch the movie together. It's such a lovely festival. Really enjoyed it. And, of course, we're lucky because we get to chat about a couple of the movies with you. And today we're talking about the Mattachine family. What's it about, Susie, and what do you reckon?
Thomas and Oscar spent a year as foster parents, and when it was time for the child to return home, only one of the men experiences serious separation anxiety. Thomas then decides to have a child of their own, even though his husband Oscar's career is suddenly flourishing and is no longer interested in being a father. The Mattachine Family is a wholesome American film screening tomorrow night at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival about a gay man's journey to parenthood. It appears we are now in a new period of queer filmmaking with stories in a post-marriage era that deal less with trauma, less with coming out, and more about how we find our feet in a world that seems ready, finally, for lesbians and gays to assume unencumbered lives. Now that we are allowed to marry, allowed to have children, how do we as a community figure out this new existence, never having been permitted to even imagine any such normalcy for all of our formative years? Straight people have endless examples of how to be grown-ups with careers, with families, and shiny, happy lives. Queers, for almost all of 100 years of film history, only ever had torment and fear and a dark abyss to look into. Well, the Mattachine family heralds a new generation of queer film that helps us work out how we can be fulfilled and complete individuals, even if its recommendations can seem heteronormative and not very appealing to some of us in the community. Thomas is played by actor Nico Tortorella, who does an excellent job and who I found to be super endearing. But I just couldn't buy into his story of wanting so bad to have a baby. It's just something that doesn't resonate with me. I won't be surprised, though, that many queer people will be drawn to the story, especially the idea of starting their own family is something that's on their mind. Warren, I'm guessing you love trying to make babies, but would rather, much rather not actually have any.
Spot on, Susie. What are we talking about next week? Look, I struggle to get into it. I'm of that generation, I suppose, of gay men that, you know, it just wasn't possible for us. It was difficult to adopt. There were all sorts of barriers and hurdles in the way. And I grew up going, you know what? I reckon I'd be a really good dad, but if you guys as society want to reject it, you're not going to get one. I'm not going to get the opportunity to do it. You miss out. So that's what was my attitude. Of course, I'm sad. I would love to have been a dad at some point, but it wasn't possible. And it was interesting because when I was watching the movie, the person I was watching with said, "Did you ever want to, would you have kids?" And I said, "Oh, I'd hate to be an old dad." And it was just before that line comes out in the movie. It was quite funny. But I've struggled because it's just having kids is not something, it's not part of my life. It was never possible. But I understand things are changing, and it's good to see that. And it's good to see some positive stories as well, that we can have kids and we can have a family. And you know what? We do a bloody good job as parents.
Do you remember coming to terms with that? Because you did mention that you were a bit sad, kind of realizing that you're never going to be a parent. Mm. Was there a point where you sort of came to peace, came to a place of acceptance?
Yeah, I was really sad, I reckon, for a few years about it. I was really, really upset about it and sad. And then I just thought, oh, well, that doesn't matter. I get to be myself. And it just cleared, and now I'm okay with it. You know, and I have kids in my life. They're just not my own kids. So I'm very lucky in that way. But, when I was watching the movie, The Mattachine Family, the thing that stood out for me was not so much the kids and this desire to have a kid. It was more about the relationship that the two guys had. And I found, you know, something that I guess I've learned, it's important to be yourself in a relationship. And I don't know what you're like in relationships, Susie, but I was always one of those codependent people, you know, and I'd mold myself into whatever the other person wanted me to be because I was so scared of being by myself. And in this movie, you see that kind of happening, you know, both of them are going in different trajectories because one of them wants the kid and the other one doesn't necessarily want the kid. And I was more focused on that. And I thought, you know, what happens in relationships when we do grow apart and we do become different people, and we don't necessarily want to mold ourselves to be what the other person wants anymore. And so I was more focused on that rather than the, I suppose, the family or kid side of the movie.
Yeah, the end of it, at the very end, it kind of plays on this mystery, right? How does the relationship go, even though we have some kind of resolution in terms of the baby part of the narrative. You're certainly right that there is a generation gap in this story, that we kind of observe kind of from a different sort of queer experience, as compared with our younger counterparts. I mean, I feel hopeful. I feel like I'm watching it and I'm thinking, oh, maybe if the younger generation thinks of it as a viable sort of life for them to be parents, that could be a good thing. You know, I mean, like, I have this thing where I'm always judgy about people having babies. So I did have to confront that.
Did you ever want kids?
It's more, I didn't want kids when I was very young. I think when I was in my mid-20s, I had a tattoo of a baby put on my shoulder.
Oh.
And that kind of closed the door for me coming to this.
Oh, wow.
Understanding that, you know, it's not going to happen to me. And I think what's happened at that moment was that I have, like, shut the door so tight that I've gone a little bit extremist in my views about this. And then every few years confronted by something like, oh, my brother having a child and me having to to think, right, look, this is the problems are more about me than about him. Like, I should be very happy for him. And it's been great. The child is now 9 years old and has brought immeasurable joy to his life, which I'm very grateful for. And now one of my closest friends is with child, and I'm thinking of the child as sort of my family. So those are those things that play in my head, even though I remember very clearly about also not wanting children, not only because society so kind of forbade me, but also from a very young age, I remembered how tough life was. I remember, you know, like I could barely talk. I mean, I was probably 5 or 6, and I just remembered I didn't give anyone consent to be put onto this earth. And you know, in the 80s in Singapore, in the 70s in Singapore, life was tough. Mm. And I just couldn't understand why anybody wants to go through this or want to put anyone through that. And that feeling has never left me. So I do think about that when people say they want to have kids. But that's a really, really deeply personal thing. I should never impose that on other people. I see how much joy it gives my brother, how it's changed his life, how it's made him a much happier and, dare I say, better person. And I think that, you know, maybe it is the thing for some other people. It's not the thing for me.
But does having a kid, I mean, do people have them because they feel like they're incomplete without one or what have you? Because I've got to be honest with you, Susie. If I was, you know, in my 20s and I was thinking about it now, I would ask the question, and I don't know if this is right or wrong and you can judge me, but I would ask the question, do I want to bring a kid in to a world that, you know, there's climate change happening, you know, who's going to take resources and will have to deal with this problem. And look, I might come out and go, you know what, I would because of whatever reason, but it is a question that I would ask, definitely.
Yeah, and I think in the film you see that thing where there is a lot of time and energy spent on his dreams, his pleasures, and kind of, you kind of, the more that it went on, the more you felt like, oh, this feels like a really selfish thing that you're going on, even though it's kind of, the performance is so great, and you feel the authenticity of that need that, you know, we see a lot of people have, especially women. So I guess one of the interesting things is to be able to see how a man would want it as well. But it does feel at times feels like, this is all about you, isn't it?
Yes.
And I feel a bit uneasy. And it is good that, you know, adoption comes into the discussion, because that makes it a little bit more palatable, I think, that, you know, some babies do need to be adopted. And if you're able to provide, that is fantastic. It's a very sensitive discussion.
Look, I think adoption would be something that I would like, because I feel like, you know, there are so many kids that need the support of a loving family. And, you know, that appeals to me more than necessarily having to have my biological own. But, you know, and fostering as well is another option where you can help kids. And I'd be open to that, to be honest with you. But, you know, it's I'm not saying it's too late, but it's just, you know what, my life's too busy now. And, you know, if I had kids in my life, I couldn't do half the things that I get up to, Susie.
Yeah, I think not every person has that capacity to fill their lives up, especially when you're queer and so much has been taken away from you. You know, like we kind of, you know, we have been shunned in these ways, and one of the ways is family, and then, you know, and that leaves many of us a little bit empty, and then we have had to be rely on our own sort of resources and you know, our own capabilities to sort of create full lives out of not having family. But I'm sure there are people that continue to feel like something's lacking, and, you know, and I understand. I completely understand that they think that they need to feel to fill the void, you know, with religion, with family, whatever. We try not to judge.
Susie, I would love to see you. I'd love to sit up with a picnic somewhere full of kids and you in the center of it, having to entertain them all.
You know, when I've had to entertain my niece when I go back on holidays in Singapore, I found that it was easy for me. I found that I just had to treat her like any other person. I don't understand when people kind of turn into someone else when they're with children. I don't feel like I have had to, and I actually don't feel like the child expects you to turn into something else. They understand that you're not a child. And you know, the few moments I've had with my niece, you know, once a year, essentially, you know, it's always been lovely, and it's always been something I'm very grateful for, and it's not difficult. And, you know, granted, it's very different from living with a child 24/7 sort of thing. But my experience has been that maybe it's not as hard as you'd think in a picnic environment, you know, not like bringing one up.
Susie, and I suppose the other thing is true with your niece in Singapore is you are going to have an amazing impact on your niece that she wouldn't be exposed to either. So let's not forget that the relationship is two-way.
Yeah, yeah. I often think about like how she interprets these things that we don't talk about. You know, you always think that the kids are too young. All these things they don't talk about. But obviously, she observes. She observes. Oh, why does my auntie live overseas? She's so cool. Why has she put this distance between us? That's one of those things. And also, you know, she is starting to come to understand queerness. I gave her a little picture book that features RuPaul. I thought it was cute. And then she told my brother, I think Auntie Susie's trying to tell me something about herself. Which is sort of true. Like, we are in the LGBT family, but I was also like, oh, please tell her I'm not RuPaul. It's not the same thing. So I've got to look for probably a more appropriate book if that's what she's trying to decipher in my gift giving.
But the thing is, you know, you've exposed a child to RuPaul in Singapore. I mean, that child is going to grow up and be very open to all sorts of things. And I think that's great. It works by osmosis, Susie.
Yeah, I've always given her books since before she was born, and I've always been very careful to give her feminist books. That was one of my things, because I worry about how women girls are brought up in Singapore, the kind of very rigid gender roles that they are sort of being indoctrinated with. So my brother isn't like that, but living in society, you don't even know when you are doing things that you know that are probably not the best. So I've built her a feminist library that hopefully she will have access to when she needs it.
And she's going to grow into a very powerful woman because of Susie Rong, just like all of us.
Yeah, and you know, she's being sent to learn martial arts and things, and that's what my brother's like, and that's great. I'm really proud of that.
Fantastic. Susie, the film of the movie is called The Mattachine Family on tomorrow night, did you say, as part of the Melbourne Queer Film Festival. Go and see
that's
it,
right.
As well as many other films. Are we resuming normal programming next week?
That's right. Next week, we're talking about a new Australian comedy that opens at the cinemas this Thursday. A Savage Christmas is here for the silly season, featuring not one but two trans characters going home for the holidays. So let's check it out, and we'll talk about A Savage Christmas when I see you next Tuesday.
Thank you, Susie. And I've got to say, I've seen the trailer, and it looks absolutely hilarious. So we'll catch Susie Rong next Tuesday.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.